Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Oh, I'm so glad you joined us. Welcome to Call to Freedom. It's such a blessing to be with you every day. Even though it's not live anymore, I know that you're there, you're listening, you're wanting more of the Word. Oh, you're hungering and thirsting for the Word, and oh, God delights in that. He really does. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And I don't understand soccer at all. They call it football. But a lot of nations around the world are filling our stadiums in America. And what is so tremendous is God is bringing them by the hundreds of thousands into our country. And then evangelists and people who love God are doing podcasts, are preaching. They're listening to things on their phone that is calling them to Jesus Christ. And we have many, many thousands of people, foreigners, who are accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. I just heard this last weekend. I was so excited. They love America. I heard this in this one pub. Yeah, they were drinking beer, but they were saying, "Country roads, take me home to the place I belong." I think John Denver would love that. So they're loving America, and the Word of God will not return void. I'm so grateful for all the evangelists and the preachers and the podcasters that are really bringing the Word of God on the phones so that people can listen. Oh, such a blessing. Praise God. If you would like to listen to previous programs, you can go to freedomstreet.org and click on Radio Show under Resources. You can also go to Spotify, typing in Freedom ST Radio, and that will get you to our program. Also, you can go to 670KLTT.com, and I am right there on Crawford Media. I know that some of you, you know, for some of you, this is a new change, and it has been a welcome challenge here, and I'm learning to transition, but I understand that God is doing new things. The old is gone. He's doing new things. So I'm saying, oh, Father God, make me available. Make me available to you and to what you want me to do. So if you don't hear a Call to Freedom on the radio at 5:30 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, 9 o'clock at night, and also on KLDC on 11 o'clock in the morning, you can always go to freedomstreet.org, and you can donate there if you appreciate Call to Freedom. And I hope you do. It's been a blessing for 30 years for me to be able to host this. I don't know why God chose me. I don't. But I am grateful. I am so grateful. Remember, when you're voting on June the 30th, it's coming up, folks, that you vote with wisdom from God. And also, if you are a Republican, you'll get a Republican ballot so that you just check boxes. And I am going to be voting for Barb Kirkmeyer, not because she's Barbara, but she's a wonderful, experienced, wise woman who's been in this blue state for years and years and in the legislature. And also, I'm going to be voting for David Wilson as the Attorney General. Our memory verse for this week has been Romans 8, verse 11. And in the Living Translation, it is, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Praise the Lord. It's so important to know that God is living and working. That's why I love Philippians 2 verse 13. God is at work in you. Oh, praise God that he's at work at you. Sometimes we feel like if someone has left us, ignored us, rejected us, we feel really down. God will never reject you. He's working on you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The passion gives Romans 8 verse 11 this way, and I'll read through the 13th verse. Romans 8, 11 through 13 in the Passion. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. When you go to Ezekiel 37, you're going to read a passage of scripture where Ezekiel is breathing life into those dead bones in that valley. And they come to life. They come to life. And that's what God is saying. If you are dying, if you are depressed, if you are feeling alone, God is breathing life into your body, my friend. He will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. So then, beloved ones, the spirit has no claims on us at all. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. The flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to the flesh, because it says in Romans 8, verse 6, in the same chapter where we're reading in the 11th verse, that the mindset on the flesh is death. The mindset on the spirit is life and peace. So the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the spirit of life puts death to the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste his abundant life. Yesterday, I was introducing to you to guard your mind. God has so many promises for you, and all you need to do is ask, believe, and receive. And when you're asking in Jesus' name, and you're using a scripture to base that request on, oh, it's going to happen, friend. It really is. So you guard your mind against every evil thought that comes into your mind to try to make you doubt God's word. And this is the battle that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6, about putting on the whole armor of God. Paul never intended for you to go to a museum and get on some armor and stand there with a sword drawn. That's ridiculous. All of this happens in your mind and your spirit. Preparation for winning the battle takes place in your mind. You've got to guard your mind against the enemy's schemes to trip you up and keep you from your answer. Your thoughts are governed by observation, association, and teaching. This step is closely associated with a step that we talked about earlier, being positive in your thinking and meditating on God's word and being on board with God. The Bible says you are to cast down every evil and vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What he thinks of you. What does God think of you? He delights in you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made in his image and likeness in Genesis. So he loves you. And that's why you should stay away from all places and relationships that do not support your affirmation that God has answered your prayer. Don't allow doubt and fear to enter in. Remember, I'm talking to you about getting your prayers answered. The Bible tells you exactly what to think on that is in God's perfect will. And here it is in Philippians 4, verse 8. Thank you, Paul. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue or truth, and if there is any praise, think on these things. When you hear a bad report, oh, Father God, thank you. Your goodness is going to outlast anything that is bad that is coming up on the news and on the airwaves. Like yesterday we were talking about, you don't ever have to worry that Israel will be defeated and destroyed. No, God's going to take care of Israel. So remember Philippians 4:18. Thinking about the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report. Praise the God, praise the Lord. So you see that We are going to rely on those wonderful scriptures and believe that God is going to bring them to pass because our mind is set on the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Last week, Kimberly and I were talking to you about getting your prayers answered. And I find later in life, my prayers are about praising God for His wonderful world and all that He is. But there are times when we need answers for situations that have risen during our day or as a result of us not listening to Him. And folks, and you know, there are so many hours in a day, and you're not going to be thinking all every moment. I pray that we will have our minds set on Him. But there are going to be times when we stray away and don't listen. So to receive answers to your prayers, decide what you want from God and find scriptures for what you need. That's what faith is all about in Hebrews 11:1. And I want to remind you that in Hebrews 11:6, it says, you cannot please God without faith. So we must have faith. And it is by grace that you are saved through faith. So grace and faith work hand in hand to bring you to a wonderful place in God's kingdom. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's exactly true. You do not look with your physical eyes on answers in the physical world. You look and set your mind on things above, in heaven, in the spiritual world, and not on things on this earth. Too often people make faith difficult. But that wasn't what God and Jesus intended. Faith isn't complicated. It simply means that you trust Jesus to do what He's promised. It's all about that. Your faith is reliant on what Jesus has said and done, and you stand on those promises. Ask God for those things, and when you pray, believe that you have received them. Let every thought affirm that you have what you've asked for, and guard your mind against every evil and wasteful thought. When you guard your mind, you also guard your mouth. David wrote in Psalm 39:1, to guard and make sure that what comes out of your mouth is edifying and is upholding the promises that you're standing on. Sometimes our thoughts just go downhill. And this is what David says in Psalm 39:1. This is what I say to myself. David is actually saying, this is what I say to myself. I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. Because sometimes our tongue goes off in a flash, and in a rage, we say something to somebody who is in opposition to us. We say things that we really don't mean, or we really don't intend to say, because we don't want those things to go out. They're not going to come back to you. They're going to go out and do their injury to people. So David says, I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. The New American Standard gives a different meaning to this guarding of your mouth. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle. Now we know that what a muzzle is for, it's to keep the animal from biting or barking or causing a disturbance. David is saying here in Psalm 39, if I have to, I will put a muzzle on my mouth until I learn your ways, O Lord. David was determined to learn God's ways and apply them to his life. Oh, praise God. I want to be there. I want to be there. We spout off too often about things that we don't think about what we're going to say, and then we regret it after we've said it. Don't do that. Just think about what you're going to say. Take a moment. I hope that you have that determination in your heart to think about it and take a moment and get rid of this isn't working out. This is too hard. I'm too busy to do this stuff. Get rid of any self-pity like no one has ever gone through what I'm going through. Yes, they have. Yes, they have. And that is stinking thinking. Those kinds of words will never help you see your answer to prayer or get you out of the pit you're in. Your mouth is valuable to your getting your prayers answered, and it's so important that your mouth is on the same page as your spirit. What Holy Spirit is telling you, it's capital S spirit to little s spirit. Oh, and you'll see that in 1 Corinthians 7, spirit to spirit. He will tell you what God is talking to you about your individual life. God is focusing in on you, you, yes, you, every day. And it's coming through in your confession. In the New Testament, I want to turn to the book of James. James, the half-brother of Jesus, is such a practical teacher. He tells it straight, and here in the third chapter, he is concentrating on the importance of the tongue in a believer's life. James 3, 2 through 18. It's kind of lengthy, but I think this is well worth reading about. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. That's honesty. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. What James is saying is, here is the words that come out of your mouth, and specifically your tongue. They're major players in the faith game. If you want faith, you've got to guard your mouth, friend, and you've got to think about what you're going to say. No negative words. It's so important. It's very important. James goes on to say in the third chapter, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grandiose speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. That's why in Colorado, especially at this time of year, I mean, they're telling them, put your cigarettes out all the way, put your campfires, and some of the campgrounds don't allow the campfires in the ground any longer, because that little spark from a campfire can cause a huge forest fire, and we've lost lots of acres of forestry because of those simple little things. And in verse 8 of James 3, it says, and the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body, if you allow it. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's kind of like I've seen people that thought that they had their boa constrictor or their snake or something tamed, a tiger or whatever, and then it kills them, and it's so sad. No one can tame the tongue, as no one can really tame those really wild beasts. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes that tongue curses those who have been made in the image of God. That's gossip. You hear a sermon on Sunday, oh, that was a tremendous sermon. And then you go out and talk about somebody in the congregation that didn't have the good clothes on, or that was unruly or whatever. That's not our business. It's not our business. We cannot talk and gossip about people and then praise God in another breath. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Stop it. Stop it, because it says in Proverbs 18, verse 10, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And God says in Deuteronomy 30, I want you to choose life. I don't want you to choose death. And a lot of that death is coming in cooperation with that tongue. So that's why I'm saying guard your mouth especially when you're asking God to bring into manifestation a request that you have. Oh, I love that verse from 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that I have before you, Father God, that if I ask anything according to your will, you hear me. And if I know that you hear me, I know that I have those things that I have asked of you. Isn't that beautiful? 1 John 5:14-15. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely this is not right. So quit gossiping. Quit the tale-bearing. Faithfully follow some steps. Be specific and stand on God's promises. Every verse in the Bible was written for your learning God's ways and getting great results. It was written for you. And why do you neglect it? Oh, some of you say, I just don't have the time. If you would wake up just a half an hour early in the morning, set your alarm for a while, and then that becomes a habit. And then you will do that every day. It becomes a habit and then value in your life sooner or later. That's why I'm so grateful that God just kind of pushed me into starting to read the Bible in 1975, 51 years ago. I did not know what my life was going to result in, but I'm so grateful. And that day after, you know, when John died and I put him in the grave, his body in the grave, and I was in grief and sorrow, and then God brought Darren into my life. One of the first things he asked was to see my Bible. And I said, well, that's really a strange request when you're going out with somebody and asking them if you could see their Bible. But I showed him my Bible, and it was totally underlined because that's what I do. I use a four-color pen to underline everything that God says in the Old Testament in red, and then to underline in green men's conversations, underline in black the circumstances, and he went from country to country. I do. I underline almost every line in the Bible. So how can you tell, Barbara, where a scripture is? Well, I've memorized that too. So be specific and stand on God's promises. You're going to get great results. Ask God for what you want. Don't be chintzy. He loves you, and he wants you to be comfortable and open with him. Go to him first, not your negative and wishy-washy friends and relatives. Some of you rely too much on people's opinions, and then you make a mistake or you make a decision that doesn't work out, and guess who you blame? God. And it's who you went to. You didn't go to God first. You went to anybody else but God. So make that a priority in your life. Ask God first. Be positive in your thinking. This positive thinking comes straight from the Word of God, and specifically from Romans 4, verse 8. And this is what I read to you yesterday. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, not a bad report. Which report do you believe? I think Isaiah 53 starts that. Which report do you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. If there is any virtue or any truth, if there is any praise, think on these things. And that's from Philippians 4, verse 8. And if you're connecting with Father God every day and faithful in his word, he will move you along the path to getting your prayers answered. First thing, you ask. Ask and it shall be given to you. Many people are thinking on the wrong things, and they're defeated in life as a result. I don't want you to be there. I don't want you to go there. Guard against every evil thought and think only on those things which affirm that God has heard and answered your prayers. And I love that phrase that Darren used so many times. God hears and answers my prayers. I say that often because those negative thoughts just love to come in and distract you. But don't you dare give in to that. God hears and answers my prayers. If you will do that, you will be cooperating with God in faith. You will have to guard your mind in order to develop in faith. And as you stand your ground firm in faith, your faith will see you through to victory and success. Remember, I told you, faith is not complicated. Faith is simply trusting Jesus in the promises he gave you in his word. That's all. That's trusting and believing and receiving. Oh, praise God. I think we make things too difficult. We really do. Over and over again, we've read book after book after book after book to build your faith. Go to the Bible. Go to the Word of God. It will just bless you so much. So to receive answers to your prayers, decide what you want from God. It has to be according to God's will. That's why you find a scripture. And that's why I believe the power pack is so important. If you'd like a power pack, you can call me at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, and I'll send you one. I'll send you a power pack. Or you can email me at barbara@freedomstreet.org or hello@freedomstreet.org and request a power pack. There's scripture cards that give you verses of scriptures that you can memorize, and then you can hold on to those memory verses. Oh, praise God. And you find the scriptures where you need that request being made or manifested. Ask God for those things, and when you pray, believe that you have received them. Let every thought affirm that you have what you've asked for, and guard your mind against every evil and wasteful thought. Faithfully following these steps will move you along the path to getting your prayers answered. Because we know that God's The thoughts of God are higher than any of our thoughts. His ways, let me go to that scripture in Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We got to get our thoughts out of the gutter. We got to look to a higher power. That power is God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. When you do it God's way, you will have what you ask for. Meditation is the key to successful prayer. And Joshua 1:8 tells us, this book of the law, and the law is a redeeming law in the New Testament. The old law in the Old Testament has been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And so this book of the redeeming law of the New Testament shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Meditate on that word. Let it roll around in your mouth all the time and in your mind. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Success, yes. Don't we want success? Yes, we do. In the meantime, until your answer is manifested in the physical, and remember, you're leaving that up to God because his timing is perfect. Continually thank him for the answer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, earnest requests, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God. And like I've said to you last Tuesday, some people on the request form they send in, they say, I want you to pray for our country. Well, what do you want me to pray about the country? This is a big country, and the issues, there are many issues at stake. Be specific. That's what Philippians 4:6 says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests, those specific requests, be made to God. Oh, Heavenly Father, I rejoice today with my friends that you have made your manual for us easy to understand, and with your help and wisdom, easy to carry out. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us how to get answers to our prayers, because I know that you want the best for us. You want the best for my listeners, Father God. We love you, Father, and we want to do your will. Not our will, but yours be done, because you know what's best for each and every one of us. Bless my friends, my listeners, with great wisdom and understanding, and give them the best life that they could have ever dreamed. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Oh, God bless you and keep you. Kimberly and I will be on the air tomorrow. I want you to know that we love you, and we want you to succeed in everything. Take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in